We're going to look at one last example this semester now that ties everything all together, includes some of the things that we looked at last class. You have this program, it's called Database, and it will wrap up many concepts that we've learned. There's an entire chapter in the textbook on this one program. I have made some changes, but if you look at what they have, it's very, very similar to the program that we have over here, and they go through it piece by piece. The basic idea is that we've created a file, what's called database.txt, with various movie stars, not including myself. We have last names, first names, gender, hair color, ages, titles, and salaries. These are obviously all made up, including my own information, so don't draw any conclusions. Even the age is not right. And what we would like to do is to write a complete program that will allow us to ask this database questions, such as, give me the list of all individuals who are over 40. Give me a list of all individuals who have black hair. And so on and so forth. We'd like to have a program, a useful program, that queries the database, asks questions, and then produces nice reports and nice results. This program will have several parts, if you think about it. Behind the scenes, the first thing the program is going to do is to have to read all this information into an array, so that we can then search the array for the conditions that we want. Before we can read them into the array, we're going to have to create a class, okay? Because as you can see, a person has various attributes, last name, first name, age, and so on and so forth. So we'll want to, as we did last time in class, create a class to describe a person. Then we will create an array of those objects, and then we will read the information into the array. That's part one. Part two, we'll want to display a little menu on the screen that says, choose what you want from a choice, and based on your choice, it will then go and perform the indicated search. Let's run it first, and then I'll show you in detail how we go ahead and do part two, which is to actually make the part of the program that runs. So let me run this. It's a large program. You have a copy of it and the data. By using functions, we'll see that even though it's a large program, it's relatively easy to write. So I'm going to build and run it. And this is what I'm going to show on my screen. To obtain a list of contestants with a given trait, select a trait from the list and type in the number corresponding to that trait. To quit, select 0. So there's a little set of instructions. And then I give you a list of choices. 0 for quit, age, sex, hair color, title, and salary. So for example, let's say we want a hair color, all the contestants who have a certain hair color. And we say, so we'll choose 3. Enter the hair color desired, and I give you the choices. So we'll put black. And it will give you a list, all contestants whose hair is black. It tells you how many contestants match that criteria. And then it waits for you to look at it, so it doesn't run away with the information. Press enter to continue. And it redraws the menu. So we put in, let's say, sex. Enter the sex desired, male or female. Let's put female in. And it gives you a list, 10 contestants match that criteria. And then when we're finally done, again, it will redraw the menu and select 0, which takes us to the end of the program. Okay? So the program is in two parts. One is the preparatory part. Read the information in, put it into an array, print it out neatly behind the scenes. We get a nice printout so that we have a record of all of our contestants. Part two. Part two, think about it, is really an endless loop. It goes over and over and over again until eventually you put a zero into stop. So we're going to have a big while loop that's going to go over and over and over. And what this while loop does is it displays a menu, step one. Step two, it reads in your choice. And unless it's a zero, which causes it to stop, it then calls an appropriate function to do whatever you asked it to. So we'll have a function called age, we'll have a function called hair color, we'll have a function called salary, and so on. So that it's a loop, again, an endless loop. It's going to go over and over and over again until it gets a zero, in which case it's going to stop. If it doesn't get a zero, you'll get obviously a number from 1 to 6. So its first job is print the menu, wait for your response, and based on your response, call a function. If we'll ever want to add additional queries, additional questions, all we need to do is to write another function and add that to the menu so that we can add as much sophisticated requirements that we want. Those are the two parts. So let's look at how we put this program together. First, the main has the various libraries that we're going to use. Since we're going to be processing from files, we have the various file libraries. Since we're going to be processing strings, like hair color and so on, we'll want to put in the string library. And then we're going to have our constant number of contestants. And for this point, I'll assume that there are no more than 50 contestants. If we ever decide we're going to go up to 1,000 contestants, all we need to do is change this one number, and everywhere else in the program, it will depend, it'll change automatically, so we don't have to search for anything else. Now let's talk about the classes. So last time we saw that we can create methodless classes, classes that just have data components or attributes. We create a class called CContestantName. Remember from last time, our convention is that all classes will begin with the letter, capital letter C, plus the name of the class, unlike a variable, will begin with a capital letter. That way we know it's a class name. We also saw last time that in order to make these components of the class visible to the rest of the program outside of the class, we need to declare them to be public. And in this class, no pun intended again, until you get to CIS 15, all classes will have only public components. So all of our classes, and on your exam, they'll only have public components, and they'll only have data components. There'll be no methods defined within the class. So it's a simplified form of a class. Remember again that when we create a class, we do not create, we're not creating any variables at this point. There is no storage being set aside. All we're doing now is we're defining a description that a contestant name consists of two parts, a last name and a first name, both of which are strings. Then we're creating another class called CJobInfo. And it describes a job information portion, which includes a title, which is a string, and a salary, which is a double. And then we describe a person info. And a person info, it consists of a sex, which is a string, although I probably could have made it character since it's just M or F. A hair color, which is a string. An age, which is an integer. And a component called job. And job, notice, in turn is a C job info. So the job component of person info consists itself of two parts, a title and a salary. And then finally, after we've declared or created these classes, we create a final class called class individual, and the class individual consists of a name component, which is of the C contestant name format, which means it has a last and a first component, and also a personal component, which is described as being a C person info, which in turn is sex, hair color, and age, and job, which in turn is salary and title. So we now have a way of describing an individual. Remember that we've created absolutely no storage at this point. We've just described an abstract individual as having these components. Are there any questions about this so far? Notice that this is all being done outside of Maine. This is being done globally. And that's okay, because these are not, number one, they're not variables. They're class descriptions. They don't hold any data. And number two, every function that we write later on is going to have to make use of these classes, since that's what the functions are going to be processing. As I mentioned to you, it is usually traditional, although I didn't do it here, to even put this into a separate file with a header class, with a .h extension, and then just simply include it all in here. But for this class, I'm simply putting it directly into the same file. C++ does not care whether it's in the physical file or whether it's in a separate file, as long as you would include it. The next part of the preparatory part of the program is to list all the function prototypes. We're doing this right up on top, together with the class descriptions, outside of the main, sort of up front, so that anyone who looks at this program right away knows it's like a table of contents. It lists all the classes that, all the functions that this program is going to use. And that's also a, we haven't been doing that, we've been putting our prototypes inside the various functions. But when you get to really large programs, so this is the first one, I guess, that comes to that category, it's useful, just like a book, to have a table of contents up front. So this is where we would list it. This, too, might be in a header file, together with maybe the class descriptions. But again, in this class, we've just put them in to the same file. So as you can see, we have various functions. We have a function called readData, which is obviously going to be responsible for reading the information and putting it into an array of objects of the C individual type. You can see that because it says C individual bracket. That tells you we're expecting an array of C individual. We still have not created the array. This is simply the function prototype. And int with a reference parameter, because the read data is going to read in the data and count them as they go along, letting us know, as usual, how many separate sets of information we've read into the program. Then there's a function called prettyPrint. Again, given the array of class objects and an integer representing the count, its job is simply to print things out neatly. Then we'll have a function called void print menu void, has no task other than to print that pretty menu that you saw on the screen. And then we'll have a function called select trait, which is going to be given the count, and it's going to give you the, it's going to be reading in or taking in the array of class of individuals and returning an integer. Then there's a whole bunch of functions called find age, find sex, find hair, find title, find salary, whose job is, as you expect, to find whatever it is, and that's going to be called. Each of those is going to be called depending on what you ask for. If you ever want to add another criteria, you just write another function, very similar to these. They're all very similar. Finally, you recall that after it displays the menu, and you respond with a value, and then it finds the items, and then it prints how many people met that criteria, it then waited before jumping to the next screen. Well, how do we get the computer to wait and not move on? So I wrote a function here called pause, which will cause the computer to pause. And I'll show you how that works. So whenever we want the computer to pause without continuing on, we'll just write pause. And then, of course, since we're going to be searching for strings, for example, male or female, and you notice that I was able to put in lowercase f rather than just capital F, and I didn't want the user to be bothered of having to insist that you do the capitalization the right way, so we saw that we could write a function called string upper, which doesn't exist in a library, so we had to write it ourselves, which, given a string, returns that string all in uppercase. We've used that in three of our programs already, the same function, but we'll review it again here. Now we're ready to start the main program. And the main program, number one, creates a variable called num for number of items. And here is where we create the objects. So I'm creating an array called contestant. The array has how many slots? It has numcons slots, in our case 0 through 49. And each slot can hold an individual, an object. So this is now where storage is finally put aside. We now have an array of objects. That's the way you describe it. Contestant is an array, 50 slots. Each one is an object of the class C individual. That's the way you talk about it. Now, part one reads the data and prints it out, prepares the program for your questions. And part two will display the menu, call the appropriate function, do the actual search, and do that over and over and over again until you put in a zero. So let's look at part one. Part one is nothing more than calling read data and pretty print. So let's look at each of those functions. Now, up until this point, I've shown you the convention that every function begins with a comment. I think I've written that on many of your papers and taken off points when you haven't done it. Every function needs to have a comment before it begins. There is now an expanded form of this comment. And this is a style that you will probably start using as programs get larger and larger. Every function, okay, should have a three-line comment. Before, we've only had a one-line comment. Now we're expanding it. The first should have its description, which you notice I left out. It should say function read data, colon, and then have the one line that says what this function does. This function reads in the data from a file and puts it into the array of objects. And then we have two other lines that we add, which will make it very, very useful in documentation when later on, a week from now, a year from now, you come back to this program and need to figure out what functions do. You have called by and calls. Called by, who calls read data? Well, the only function that calls read data is the main. And does the read data call any other functions in turn? The answer is none. This helps you trace the program. It's a very essential part of the documentation, and it's a new format for writing, not new, new for you, format of writing documentation or comments for functions. It's a very good habit to get into, and many instructors require it. I haven't up until now. But in 15, certainly, you should start writing programs in that form. Now, once you write that comment, the function itself is reasonably straightforward. It's void read data C individual contestant, open bracket, close bracket. Again, an array of C individual objects. As usual, we do not specify a number inside the brackets, because the computer can look it up on its own. And we provided a reference parameter called num so that we can count the number of items we're reading in. If stream infile, infile.open, we open the database.txt, we check to see if it could be opened, as usual, and then we begin reading the information in. Notice, this is the only function in the entire program that looks at the file. Because that's its job, to read the data in. The rest of the program will refer to the array, but not to the file itself. So I open it in this file, I'm sorry, in this function, I process it, and I close it afterwards, a little line down, and that's it. Okay, so the file itself is only known within this, it's a local file, there's no reason for the main or any other part of the program to do any, have anything to do with the function, with the file. Now it's straightforward. As we, by now you should have had a lot of experience reading things in to an array. We say count equals zero, while not in file.eof, and that's one long statement, okay, and in file into contestant subcount.name.last, in file contestant count.name.first, in constant count.personal.sex, and as you notice, we use the qualifier operator, the period, in order to show which component of that object we want information to be placed. So count equals zero, we read in all that information, put it into the zero slot of the array, and then say count plus plus, and come back around again. Eventually, we'll run out of data, drop out of the while loop, and then num equals count. So now we've established how many items there are in the array. In file.close, return. Are there any questions about this function? So when this function is finished, we'll have populated the array with all the information in the file, and we will now know how many items we read in. Are there any questions about the qualifying operator and the class name? Okay. So that was the function read data. The next thing we wanted to do in part one of our program was simply to print it out prettily. Okay, so if you look over here, we have a file called database.out, and you look at it, it should have a nice, not too pretty, unfortunately, printout of everything in the file. Actually, when we send this to the printer, there are tabs that you can't see in here that will cause everything to shift over when it actually prints, and print nicely. So all this function is supposed to do is take the information in the array, print it out, first put a heading, and then print it out. So that it should be quite simple. But let's look at that function called prettyPrint. Again, function prettyPrint, called by main, calls none. Main called it, no one else calls this function, and it doesn't call any other functions. Its only job is to simply prettyPrint. So we have int count. It receives as parameters the array of contestants and the number of contestants we've actually read in. It opens the out file, which I call database.out. As usual, it checks to see whether the out file was able to be opened, sets the various precision, because we want to print it out in dollars and cents, the salary figures. So I set the precision. Then I print the heading, contestants in the database, notice the tabs, and name, sex, hair, age, title, salary. And then finally, for count equals zero, count less than num, count plus plus, out file, the name.first, name.last, personal.sex, personal.hair color, personal.age, and each one of these, notice, has a set of tabs that are being printed, and for neatness, look how I nicely lined everything up, which makes it very easy to read and very easy for you to see what is being printed out. Once we've finished this for loop, okay, num, we then close the file and we return. The out file also is local to this function, No other function deals with the out file. That was the job of this function, to print it out to the file. So we opened it in the file, we closed it in the function, and then it's all over. Are there any questions? So we did part one. We read the information in, we counted it, we printed it. We're now ready to put up the menu. Ask your choice. So we go and look at part two. Here's part two. Remember what part two is supposed to do. It's supposed to do over and over and over and over again, print the menu until such time as you enter a zero. So the function itself is simply do print menu while select trait contestant.num not equal to zero. So this, what is this thing doing here? Printing a menu, calling the select trait. Now, if you put in any other number other than zero, select trait will call the appropriate function to perform that task. If, on the other hand, you put in a zero, it'll come back here, and since it's returning a zero, that will make the while loop false, which will drop out of this and end the program. Yes? Select trait. That's a good point. That's why I wrote it up here. See? You can look it up in the table of contents, so to speak. That's one of the reasons we put it up here. So that when you have a question, what does this function do? So you look it up. Select trait is a function that's going to be given an array of the class objects and the number of items, and it's returning an int. Okay? And its job is to select the trait that you've asked for. And when you put in a zero, it'll come back with the zero, and that will make this false, which will then end the program. If on the other hand, it comes back with any other number, that meant you've asked it for something other than to stop the program. You've asked it for sex, you've asked it for the income, you've asked it for the hair color. So then it just prints the menu again and repeats the whole process. So the main is very, very simple, notice. The main really has a part one, reads in the data, prints it out, and a part two has a very simple loop that keeps on printing the menu until you put in a zero and then it stops the program. Okay? So let's look at print menu. Now print menu is going to be, look at it at that, from the up here. It's void. Obviously, all print menu does is print a menu. Just puts it on the screen, that pretty menu that we saw before. So if we look at print menu, again, function print menu, it's called by main, it calls no one else. It's one big C out, bunch of C outs. Skips some lines, prints a message, tells you how to quit, puts a cute little heading, list of choices, prints out the lines 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, C out, enter your selection 0 through 5, return. And notice, it's not responsible for getting your choice. That's the select trait function. The only job this thing does is prints the screen. Nothing more, nothing less. Again, by indenting it the way I did here, it makes it very easy for you to visualize, okay, what this program actually looks like. Compare this screen to this. It looks very, very simple, and you can follow through. Okay, that's one of the reasons why we take trouble to indent things nicely in the C outs, just to make sure it's easy to read and visualize. Okay, so we print the menu. So let's go back and return. We did this. The next thing is we're going to drop to here, and we're going to call the select trait. Now here's where all the action takes place. Select trait is now waiting for you to put in the number, because you're responding to that menu. And unless you put in a zero, it's going to call another function to actually do the task you've assigned it to. So let's look at select trait. Now, by the way, instead of jumping around with my cursor, select trait. Now, that's the action one. This is doing most of the work. So the function is called select trait. It is called by the main. Only function that calls select trait is the main. But depending on what value you put in, depending on what value you put in, it would call the fine age, fine sex, fine hair, fine title, fine salary. Again, as you can see, this helps us trace the program. This helps us see what each function is doing in the global sense of what the program does. So, select trait is given the array, it's given the number of items on the array, and it's going to return a number from 0 through 5, or whatever choice, as many choices we want. If we ever want to increase the choices, we write another function, put another entry into this line, and the program will work. So, int choice, do. Now, the first thing this thing does is gets the choice, the number you put in. You remember we printed the menu previously, and then the computer is waiting. It's waiting for you to put in the number. So the first number you put in, 0 through 5, goes into choice. Switch choice. If you put in a 0, well, that means you're finished. So then we break, drop out of the do statement, or rather of the switch statement, and we return the 0 back to the main, which then stops the program. But let's say you put in a 1, or a 2, or a 3. Then the switch statement calls the appropriate function designed for that task. So if you put in a 2, it will call the findSex function, which will in turn ask you male or female, actually find the people, count the people, and then come back here, and then it will break. And then, after it breaks, it returns the choice back to the main. Remember that loop in the main? And if it was a 0, then the program stops. And if it was anything but a 0, it just does what? Prints the menu again, and waits for you to put in another choice. Then we'll see the flow of control. It's a little complex here. Let's go back to the main for a moment. Okay, here was the main. This is the part that we're looking at. The main prints the menu. You then go to select trait. Select trait gets your choice, a number from 0 through 5. If you put in a 0, we break, we hit this return, so it returns the 0, sends us back here, this makes this false, and we end the program. But if you put in a number other than 0, let's say you put in 3, so it calls the find hair function, which does its thing, finds the color hair that you asked for, or that you will ask for. When find hair is finished, it comes back here. It breaks, which means it drops out of the loop, returns a 3, because that was the function you chose, back to the main, which makes this true, because 3 is not equal to 0. So it comes back here, prints the menu again, and calls select trait again. Now select trait is doing one more thing. Notice that I've put the whole select statement, in other words, this whole switch that's selecting which function to use, is inside a do statement, inside a do while. Why am I doing that? Why did I put that whole switch inside this do while? Look at the logic. Should be able to figure this out. Again, the whole switch, this whole piece, which I'm going to collapse, okay? So make believe it's that's what my line does, so you can see the whole thing. That whole switch, which is now collapsed, is inside that do while. What is the purpose of putting that switch in the do while? Right?
And then file stops.
In other words, exactly. We're making sure that what happens if the person puts in a negative 7, or puts in a 37, or a 7 for a choice, or an 8 for a choice. It should just simply say, no, that's not a good number. In other words, we're ensuring that only the numbers 0 through 5 are being put in. Because if you put in any number, a number that's less than 0, or a number greater than 5, it won't hit that return statement. Rather, it'll just go around and say, choose again. Okay. In other words, it will. That's our robust program to make sure that the only valid points, since we've only prepared choices 0 through 5, we shouldn't allow the user to put in a 6 and get away with it, or a 7 and get away with it. So we're putting this whole thing inside the do while. You've seen this before when we wrote robust programs. Yes? What?
The while statement?
Yes.
It doesn't have to come.
No, because it's a do while. We want it, remember, do while is different than while. It reads it at least once. First we read, and then if it's a number that's not good, in other words, greater than 5, we come back around again and read again. Okay? But when you finally put in a number that makes that while false, it drops out straight to the return and goes back to the main with a number of 0 through 5. Incidentally, that's the usefulness of this, those little pluses and minuses that let you collapse code, because it lets you look at the greater picture of things. In other words, you don't have to look at this whole details here. So by collapsing that, you can take a look at this little do statement and see what's happening. And you also notice that in the switch statement, if you put in a number other than 0 through 5, I have a default incorrect value, try again, enter your selection 0 through 5. So that, again, let's run this, just to make sure we understand how it works. And let's say I put in the number 7, incorrect value, try again. 8, incorrect value, try again. Only when I put in a number, let's say, like 1, and enter the age that you want, and I put 45, and it says one person was found, and then it says enter the continue, and comes prints the menu again, back to the main, print the menu, and once again call select trait, which is where it's waiting. Now, let's go back to the main. The main, where are you? Prints the menu, call select trait. You came to select trait, and you chose, let's say you chose number 2. Okay, see in choice, you put in a 2, that comes here. That meant you're now calling the find sex function. So let's jump to find sex. There it is. Function find sex, called by select trait, and it calls the pause function to give you a chance to view it before it just rewrites the menu right on top of the answers. You will have a chance to look at it, which is why I had to put in the pause. So let's see what we have here. So void find, and this one is the same as all the others, just the criteria is different. Whether you're finding hair, or you're finding sex, or you're finding age, the criteria is the same. The criteria is different, but the method is the same. So we have here, we're given the array, we're given the number of contestants. We say int I, we say string sex value, int found equals 0, see out. Enter the sex desired, male/female, see in sex value, so you choose, you're looking for males or you're looking for females. You put one in or the other, and then you say, print out the heading, all contestants whose sex is whatever you put in, male or female. And then, for I equals 0, I less than num I plus plus, if string upper contestant sub I dot personal dot sex equals equals string upper of sex value. So what are we doing here? We're taking the thing you put in, male or female. Whether it's uppercase or lowercase, what are we doing? We're capitalizing it. And we're comparing the capital version of it to the capital version of contestant sub I dot personal dot sex. Now, Again, because in the data file, we didn't insist that the person puts in capital letters or lowercase also. So I'm comparing, I'm just converting them both to capital, so they should be the same. If they're the same, if the thing you've asked for is the same as what's in the array, you found a person of that gender. So then I will say, found plus plus. Well, first I will print it out, see out contestant I dot name dot first, a space, contestants of I dot name dot last, end line, because I just found a person of the gender that you selected. Then I say found plus plus, because I'm counting, I found one person so far, and come around again. I do this over and over again for each of the people in the array. At some point, we'll have finished that, and either we found someone or we didn't find someone. So if not found, now remember, found is a number. It started out being zero. If we didn't find anybody, it's still zero. Zero, you recall, is false. Not false is true. So if not found, that makes it true, then we print C out none. But if we did find even one person, then found will now be one, because remember that's our counter. And if it's one, it is true. And not true is false. So else, C out found contestants were found. If found has seven, then it would say seven contestants were found. Let's run that program, just with this, just to recall. Again, we're selecting for sex, two. Enter the sex you desired. Male, let's say. Capital or lowercase, I don't care, it'll work the same. Male. Okay? So compare that. Enter the sex desired, there's that line. Male or female, M. So now, as soon as I hit enter, it's going to read that into sex value. It will then immediately print all contestants whose sex is sex value, which is male. For I equals zero, I less than num, I plus plus, it'll go through the entire array, comparing each person's sex, string upper sex, with male uppercase, and if they match, they'll add one to found and print them out one at a time. There it goes. And then finally, after it's finished, it'll drop out of this loop, which ends here. This loop ends right here, because this is a one statement. It's just a big if statement. And then it'll say, if not found, print none. Else, and in our case, else is 12, so it prints out 12 contestants were found. So far so good, does everyone understand that? And now I want it to pause for a moment. Because if it wouldn't pause, if I didn't have this pause function that I'm going to write now, it will immediately continue and write and do this right on top of this. And you won't have a chance to see it. And I want it to wait for as long as you want it to wait until you hit enter, and now it will show that menu again. So now I want to call the pause function. So let's look at the pause. Pause. What does pause do? It's supposed to wait until you hit the enter key, ignoring anything else. So let's look at a pause function. A little tricky function to write, very small. Function pause is called by find age, find hair, find sex, find title, find salary, and it in turn calls none. Now let's see what void does. Void has a variable called response, which is a string. And I use the get line to read. Now what does get line do? Remember what get line does? It reads everything up to and including the carriage return. So no matter what junk I type in, it will swallow that up until I wake up and hit the